This morning on The Local Take, I'd like to welcome Charles Campbell, the author and filmmaker of All or Nothing, which chronicles one of the largest recorded underground railroad escapes in our history. Charles Campbell, welcome to The Local Take.
Thank you. Thank you, Kiplin, and thank you for having me.
Well, first, can you share how you came across this story about the Underground Railroad?
I can. I was attending Central Michigan University, earning my master's in film theory, and a friend who's an Underground Railroad docent in Ann Arbor, Michigan, shared a small pamphlet with me called The Escape of the 28. And the story chronicles the escape of 27 enslaved people from Boone County, Kentucky, which is just south of the Kentucky, the Ohio Bridge on from Cincinnati. And these 27 enslaved people traveled approximately 400 miles with the guidance and assistance of a white abolitionist named John Fairfield. And I was so blown away by this collaboration, an Underground Railroad collaboration, that I put my foot in my mouth and said, I'm going to make this my first feature film.
Now, you mentioned it was 400 miles and 27, 28 people. You know, I think when we most often think about the Underground Railroad, we think about one or two people going away. How were they able to hide, you know, as they were moving around, if there it's 27 people?
They came up, well, first there were 14 abolitionists that worked together to pull off this escape. And they were of different faiths, men and women, boys and girls, black and white. And one of the early clandestine, if you will, operations for this particular escape was for them to pose as a funeral procession to get them through Cincinnati. And that went over without a hitch, at least we believe without a hitch. I'm sure there were always some circumstances that were challenging to this group. But once they posed as a funeral procession, then the train, if you will, led them to another destination and another. And some of these locations are documented. Others, I had some creative licensing to speculate what their journey might have been, the unrecorded part. But yeah, they had to be clever.
So now some of the names that you include, some of those abolitionists, and I'm going to say their names: William Lambert, Reverend Charles Monroe, George D. Baptiste, Laura Haviland, Asher and Catherine Array, and William Webb Harwood, and Mr. Henry Bibb. What were these were the abolitionists that were working together. Do they have descendants? You know, how did they come to know about each other? How did they get together to decide that this was what they wanted to do?
Yes, they do have descendants. As a matter of fact, some of the descendants of two or three of the names you mentioned are actually in the movie. They serve as either extras or have a speaking role. And these gentlemen and women got together because they were a part of the Underground Railroad network for years and worked with other escapes aside from the escape of the 28. Henry Bibb, for example, was an escaped slave himself, and he has quite a narrative. His story is heavy, as all of theirs are. Laura Haviland, a very petite, I'd say 100-pound white woman from Adrian, Michigan, ended up with a $3,000 bounty on her head, and she was very clever. I really admire her techniques for helping African Americans and white children at the time when it wasn't popular at all for us to work together. She assisted black children with reading and writing, and she enacted several slave escapes on her own. And Asher Array, who I've become very close with, their family, they're in Michigan, and they helped many slaves escape, gave them refuge in their barn, helped them get to Henry Bibb, who was working between Canada and Detroit. And so many others who worked in Cincinnati, so many other abolitionists between Cincinnati, Indiana, and Michigan, and into Canada, were a part of this escape. And again, many more.
Now, are any of the facilities on that part of the Underground Railroad still around? I was in Detroit several years ago, and I actually drove over to Windsor and saw the Underground Railroad stop. It was, they said it was known as the first stop of freedom, and it's still there.
Yeah.
You can go in, you know, you can see the building. So between, you know, Cincinnati and Detroit, do any of these buildings and facilities that hid the enslaved people who were, you know, trying to be free, do they still exist? Are they there?
There are plenty. It's almost like you have to map out if one wants to find these facilities. Some are well known. Others are, they've been torn down. It's just, of course, a landmark. But like Detroit, very few exist. But yes, there are some of the homes. And, you know, there's one place that is called Cabin Creek. And it's in Indiana, if I'm not mistaken, because I'm not a historian, although I've done a lot of research with this. But I think it's Cabin Creek. It's not, it's College Hill. That was a location where many blacks and whites of mixed race lived, and a tree had fallen. There had been a storm, and you know, at the time there weren't many homes. It was mostly woods, but it was a settlement, and many of the mixed race and escaped slaves settled there. And because it was so difficult to see, because it was hidden by these trees that had fallen, they were huge, huge trees. And now that land, there are gravestones there, but there's no homes because the people moved on. But it was a large settlement that was pretty special, especially back in 1853. Canada, as you mentioned, right across the Detroit River into Windsor, and then there's Sandwich. That's where many of the enslaved settled and moved on up into Canada. But one thing I can say about the Canadian connection is that they've maintained a large part of this heritage, and it's very special. It is.
Now, Mr. Campbell, do you know how these stories get lost? I mean, I've talked with young people who, you know, don't even know about the slave rebellions that were happening, you know, in the U.S. on a regular basis. They seem to think that, you know, African-Americans just kind of accepted their lot. But there were slave rebellions and runaways almost, you know, every day of the week. But how have we lost these stories? And, you know, why don't we learn about this in school?
It's a hard subject to teach. And, you know, I'll say that, and then I'll continue with, America hasn't wanted these stories to be told. There's been a certain level of intentional evasion of this information, because it instills, if told properly, they instill pride. And the purpose of losing, just like, I'll just say it directly, the black man really has never been assimilated into America. And until there's some healing done, this country will never be great. These stories, like, let's stay real tight to this particular escape. Of the 27 African-Americans who were part of this journey, this voyage, there's nothing known about any one of them. There's no name. I had to create these people, give them a voice. It's kind of like the tomb of the unknown soldier in Washington or, you know, in D.C. These are the real heroes that we stand on. We stand on their backs. And I think that when these 27 arrived in Canada, they did not want to be found. I believe they changed their names. And I hope someone, a descendant somewhere, shows up as this project travels the country and you know, wherever its journey is taking us.
Now, Mr. Campbell, you're going to be in Atlanta March 8th. Can you tell us what you're going to be doing and where you're going to be?
Yes. This is the first screening of the film on March 8th from 7 to 10 p.m. at Friendship Baptist Church at the Atlanta University Center. We're located like down in the heart of the Atlanta University Center. And we'll be screening the film. It's roughly 83 minutes. And then we'll do a discussion on what it takes to make a feature film, an indie film. And we'll have a Q&A, an open discussion on just the state of affairs with regard to racism and how the past parallels where we are now, not just as a people, but as a country. And then we'll have a book signing. We'll close with a book signing because I wrote a novella that just goes a lot deeper than the movie with regard to backstory and the creation of this wonderful, wonderful project.
And what do
to not just my heart. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. What do people need to do to attend? Do they need to register? Are there tickets? What do we need to do?
Well, it's first come, first served. The Friendship Baptist Church Fellowship Hall seats about 500 to 550. It's free parking. The donation at the door is $20. And if a person wants to buy a book, it's $19.95. But if you want a package deal, like the admission and a book, it's $35. And I will also say there will be refreshments, and that a portion of the proceeds will go to benefit two scholarship funds, the Ozell Sutton Scholarship Fund and the Joanna Sutton Scholarship Fund. And I will also be doing something with a group of at-risk youths at a later point, to help them realize their potential. We have a lot of talent in the communities that's not being recognized. And if we don't start to come together to help our young Black men and women, but specifically men, then what the outcome of their lives is, we bear direct responsibility, and we can't fault anyone for them not reaching potential and being more detrimental to society than beneficial.
So we're talking with Charles Campbell about his movie and novella, All or Nothing. Mr. Campbell, can you tell us what's next for All of Nothing? You mentioned this was kind of a off remark that you said, I'm going to make a feature film about this story. What are your next steps with this story, with this movie and novella?
I am traveling the country and really the world, just getting started. The movie just wrapped. We just really closed on it in April of last year. And I go from city to city, state to state, screening. The book just was released a few weeks ago. And my goal is, I wish I could tell you what's next for All or Nothing. I'm just doing what God has told me to do. I'm being very obedient with this project. And as a filmmaker, my next job is to make another movie, which I'll be making. I'm working on it now. We'll discuss that on March 8th. We're going to shoot it in Atlanta. And it's a comedy, a dramedy, a hip-hop dramedy that's designed to mobilize young Black voters and bridge the gap between the generations. But All or Nothing is a piece that's for everyone. It targets African-Americans to help us heal. It targets our white brethren who understand the journey, and those that are so closed-minded, all the others that are so closed-minded that maybe it'll help them start to heal themselves and recognize that the hatred they carry is really dividing this country rather than bringing it together.
Now, you mentioned, you know, finding this story. As you were researching this story, did you find others that you might want to chronicle that's part of this or that, you know, are tangential to this story?
Not necessarily to this story, but there are hundreds and thousands of these type of stories that during this month, especially Black History Month, get mentioned, honorable mention. But the schools need to start including in their curriculum these type of stories, and even in our households and in our communities that build character and help our young people. As you mentioned earlier, very few people know about these stories, and especially our children. It's a shame, but now's the perfect time in present-day history to change that. And I'd like to say this, just because I know we're probably going to run out of time soon. The Underground Railroad journey was an exception for many African Americans. Most fled as individuals and on their own, not with the aid of a network like the Underground Railroad.
And now you mentioned the 400 miles, and that's almost, it's hard to believe. It's hard to comprehend. You know, a marathon is 26.2 miles. How many days, how long did it take this group of 28 to reach freedom?
It took them, with the aid of all of these abolitionists, approximately 3 weeks. And they had, you know, some horse and buggy. A lot of it was on foot. But, yeah, approximately 3 weeks. And just to give you a comparison, it took us, we had to rush to shoot this because, you know, I raised the money and it was a limited budget. So we traveled as like a caravan, our whole cast and crew, that same route that's believed to have been taken. And it took us 2 weeks and we had cars. So they were covering some ground. And, you know, they probably had to hide out at night, hide out in the daytime. They stayed still a couple of days. So, 400 miles is a long way, and especially with hound dogs and bounty hunters on your heels, most of the whole route, because Boone County was relentless for bringing their runaway slaves back.
Well, Mr. Campbell, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for this work to help bring this story to the public. Thank you for coming to Atlanta for the first screening. And I hope to see you there, and I hope to see some of our listeners there as well. If they want to find out more information about you and this story, where can they go?
They can either call me direct, 323-326-8664. A text is best. They can email me at yeswecanland, L-A-N-D, at yahoo.com. Or visit the All or Nothing website at All or Nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N, movie.com.
Thank you so much, Mr. Campbell. I greatly appreciate your time. And again, we'll see you March 8th. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Kiplin. Take care and stay warm. Stay warm.
Bye-bye now.
Okay, bye.